It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. Because in all honesty, the greatest gift you can give yourself is to be yourself, and do that even in your most loving, tried and true relationships with that person that you really, really, really dig and really want in your life. But I'm just wondering, are you ready to experience something that's maybe a little bit deeper of a connection and really find lasting love? You know, as you come out of those closet doors, that may be one of the biggest questions is, will I ever really truly find love? Will you ever find the person that you can quit fighting with and quit arguing with? Are you sick of just not knowing how to make those relationships work, especially now that you're on the other side of the closet doors? Because it's really tough when you come out of that closet door and you always have been doing what everybody else expected you to do. That same-sex stuff. Maybe you're feeling a little bit fed up and insecure in your current relationship, or you find yourself feeling that way in every relationship. Regardless of what's happening, I want you to know there's some really good methods that can help you and help you really dive in deep into who you are in your relationship. And to help me help you find that today is my friend Lewis Congdon. He's a relationship coach, and he really, really works with couples, helping them find that lasting love and finding a way to just really connect with one another. Now, he's not just some schmo off the street who just decided, oh, you know, I've been in love, I've dated a few people, and, you know, I've got a good relationship going. No, he's studying and he's taught with Drs. John and Julie Gottman, which if you just want to go Google that out, you're going to figure out who they are, what they do. Very powerful doctors in the relationship arena. He's also been a key player in a very interesting research project where they really look deeply at what is the real key? What is the real stuff that makes marital success and happiness really, 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 truly work in a relationship? He's also got his own podcast called Lasting Love Connection. And with that, I'm going to say welcome to the podcast, Lewis.
Honored to be here and honored to provide some quality content for your audience. I love your show, so I'm just ecstatic to be here.
I'm excited you're here too, because we've been connected for a little while through a couple of online social networks that we both belong to. And I always like finding somebody a little bit just slightly askew out of my arena of coming out and gay and lesbian and everything that can really contribute something to the conversation. So the reason I brought you on is because you're doing a lot of work in the relationship arena, and you're doing a lot of work with lots of different kinds of couples. Tell us just a little bit about this work that you do.
Definitely. So my work is helping couples understand the keys, the tools, and the ways that research, as well as my own experience, has taught me what are couples doing that helps them have lasting love. And here's the key, Rick, and for the rest of the listeners, is it's pretty much the same for any type of relationship. Of course, when you change the dynamics of a relationship from non-monogamous to monogamous, or however you define your relationship, it shifts it a little bit. But really, ultimately, the success principles of any relationship are the same, whether that's your mom and your dad and you, or your best friend in you, or you and your intimate partner or partners.
And I think this is so true that we often take like this magical, unsettling pill when we start to think about the intimate loving relationship. Okay, this has got to be a little bit different than what we do with everyone else. It isn't. I mean, there are principles, and obviously there are activities that you do when you're in those deeper loving relationships. But at the core of it, we're all having relationships with people all the time, and there's no reason to really wig out, because now it's that intimate one. It's that one that we're crawling into bed with that person, or we're having intimacy, you know, throughout the day, which doesn't necessarily mean sex. But people really wig out about, okay, this one's so different. So I would bet, as you're working with people, that might be something you talk to them about, is relationships are relationships are relationships.
So true. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the success, again, you know, it's kind of back to that space of the success principles of any relationship are the same pretty much for all relationships. The key difference is an intimate relationship is intimate, and therefore it is like a magnifying glass for everything. So you love your best friend, but your intimate partner, oh my gosh, you love them. You know, you can obsess about your intimate partner. I've never obsessed about my best friend or just been like nuts that he didn't call me or felt super hurt. You know, I've been bothered by it maybe, but the way that I will in an intimate relationship respond is just way more intense. So everything is just a lot stronger, and the way we deal with that is slightly different and yet very much the same.
So I know one of the questions that gets asked a lot is, okay, so is this intimacy, or is this love, or is this sex, whatever it is? I would love to kind of just explore, what's your definition of intimacy?
Definitely. Intimacy for me is multifaceted. I mean, intimacy really begins at the ground level, regardless of where it goes, is your ability to connect with another, to feel understood by them, to understand them, to relax, you know. So the deepest kind of relationship where we feel that there is space for us, you know, this person that we're with has a level of openness to us that makes us want to further open and become more of ourselves. You know, through relationships, we discover who we are and who we're not, and we need our partnerships for that. Intimacy at the most foundational level begins with that. Then the next piece is, you know, how do you connect through touch? How do you connect through deeper levels of touch, where, you know, of hugging to maybe kissing to being sexual? And intimacy is really all about how connected you can stay through that whole process.
So when you're working with a couple or even somebody that's single, how do you get them to really begin to tap into this intimacy arena? Because I know I've worked with some people in my practice that they just can't seem to get there. They can get to the let's date, they can get to the I love you part, but it stays very surface. They can't seem to dive into that deeper level. What would be some things you would suggest for people who can't get there?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that everybody has at some point will experience, you know, that space of I'm not sure how to connect with my significant other. And it doesn't matter how great you are at this stuff. You know, my partner and I were always honing this stuff in. And, you know, just the other day, she talked to me about some things that she didn't enjoy. And I thought she absolutely loved them. So I'm learning. And so is she, you know, and learning how to have those conversations. So just want to get that out right away is that, yeah, if you're having a problem around this, you're not the problem. You're just human and you're learning. And it's so great that you can open up about this. Next is I really want to kind of jump into the story of working with this married couple. They have 4 kids and they come into my office. We're talking for a while. I've known them for a little bit, so they're relaxed and comfortable around me. It's almost out of nowhere. The husband says, you know, our intimate life sucks. I hate it. Wife freezes. She just clams up. She turns tense. And then he goes, and I say, well, what do you mean by that? Do you want to say more? And he goes, well, whenever we have sex, she just lays there like a corpse and doesn't actually get involved with me. She starts crying. You know, this is a horrible thing to say to your wife, probably. And I say probably because I appreciate that he's being honest. It's just the way he said it didn't work so well for her.
Sure.
But then, you know, I ask him, you know, well, what do you mean? And he goes, well, I mean, I wish she was more involved. I wish her body was there with me more. And I asked him, well, what does sex mean to you? And he goes, well, it means I get to relax. It means I get to connect with her. It means that we're not fighting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were getting a snapshot of what it means to him. And I turned to her and I acknowledge that she's crying and that she must be hurt by what he said. And she said, yes. So I look at both of them and I said, well, one of the things, you know, I didn't want to spend a lot of time kind of talking to her about her feelings. I wanted to try to bring them together because they're obviously disconnected. And this is a couple that's been together for a long time. So one of the things I said to them is, you know, what I'm noticing here very apparently is that intimacy means something very different for both of you. For him, it means you're not fighting. It means he gets de-stress, and it's his way of trying to connect with you. But it's not working the way that both of you want it to. So they both nod. Boom. We've got a little bit of agreement going on with them, which is what I want. I want them to feel like a team again. So then I ask her, can you tell me a little bit about what intimacy means to her, to you? And she says, well, I wish that he would touch me, but when he touches me, it's just he wants sex. Okay, now we're starting to understand a little bit more about what it means to her and where the disconnect is. So we talk for a little bit more, and then I reiterate to her, but I look at him and I say, you know, a lot of times for women, intimacy is kind of a warm-up thing before sex. Mm-hmm. And I want to get that clear for you, is that for her, it means something different. And you're never going to have the type of sexual relationship that you would like with her until you understand how to warm her up and how to get her body to relax before you pursue sex. So he's kind of nodding his head like, okay, let me get the pen out and write this down. Now, again, I want to reiterate for us. This is a couple that's been together for a long time. You would think they'd have it together, but they didn't. And here's the thing, is people change over time. So I'm sure at one point they had an awesome life together. Now they've been together for 12 years. It's very different. So, you know, we talked, and what it came down to is, hey, how about throughout the week you touch and massage me a little bit, and no, you don't just reach for me like you just want sex from me. And how about maybe some flowers sometimes and compliments and a nice message? So his whole dynamic of what intimacy meant had to open up so that his world could open up into having a sexual experience that really worked for both of them.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that as you were talking, I'm sitting and going, okay, this is the exact same kinds of conversations I have had with my gay, my gay male clients. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure this thing out. And contrary to what everybody has thought about gay men and what society tends to put onto gay men and lesbians, we're not just all about sex. In fact, I would say the predominance of the clients that I've worked with over the years, those coming out or those gay men who are out and lesbians who are out, many of them are hungering for intimacy. They really want the intimate peace. And sometimes it's that peace that is so elusive because all they've been taught, so to speak, by our society and our gay culture is, well, we're just all about the sex. And I know I'm doing a big generalization there, so let the hate mail begin. But this is really at the core of so many relationships, whether it's a relationship between two heterosexuals, between two homosexuals, between bisexuals. We're all hungry for the intimate piece. Sex is just part of the big bang, so to speak. But sex can be a part of that intimate part, but it doesn't have to be exactly where we start each and every time. And I think right. That's what you're intimidating, is that, you know, if you can look and hear your partner and you can really get the words that they're saying to you and actually be open to having the conversation, you're going to get more information than you ever needed to figure out what's going on. But having the communication is the key piece, wouldn't you say?
I completely agree. And a lot of times when I teach classes and I ask couples, you know, what are the keys to success in a relationship? Everyone says communication. Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic answer, but it's only half right. And the reason why I say that is because we're always communicating. So if you, Rick, say hello to me and I walk away when you say hello and I don't respond to you, that creates a little bit of a pain inside you that says, oh, Luis is communicating that he's not interested in talking to me or acknowledging my existence. So we're always communicating. Really what we want is the right type of communication that's targeted and ideally targeted for our partner.
Well, I think it's targeted and heard and understood. I think sometimes we say something and we, you know, expect our partners are going to really understand what we just said. But in reality, that way they react or that body language that we observe, if we even take the time to observe the body language, can tell us a whole lot about, oh, wait, that didn't actually get received the way I intended it to. So it may mean you have to restart again. And oftentimes we're in such rushed, hurried lives that we just keep going. We don't take the moment to stop and say, did you really understand what I just said? Did you really hear me? And I think this is a new way of couples starting to communicate, is to say those words, did you really hear me and did you understand me? Or is there something I didn't make clear? Or what do you need me to be right now in this moment for you? There's so many different ways to start to open those doors.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
So one of the things that I've often talked about, and I want to see if this rings true for you, is there's basically three elements to a really good relationship in my book. Communication, compatibility, and chemistry. Those three all together kind of work together to make the magic potion. But when we have chemistry and compatibility but no communication, then the relationship's going to fall apart. If you have chemistry and communication but there's no compatibility, it's going to fall apart. It's like you take one out of the equation, or God forbid you take two. I don't even know why you would be in a relationship if two out of those three aren't there. Then things start to fall apart. Is this something you find pretty similar in the work you're doing?
Definitely. And I want to just say that if you have your communication really dialed in, and when I said targeted communication, what I really meant around that is when I talk to Rick, there's a certain subset of words and ways of speaking that Rick will very clearly understand. And there's a subset of pieces of language and communication that I get. When I speak with Rick, hopefully I am good enough at love mapping and really understanding Rick so that then I can target my language and my communication style for Rick. Because if I talk to you the way that I want to be talked to and it doesn't work for you, good luck. You know, like I am probably SOL and can talk until I turn blue in the face. But as soon as I find those magical words that work for Rick, communication will be super easy. So I want to be targeted in how I communicate. Here's the thing is once I believe that once people have that dialed in, your compatibility will increase.
Yep.
Your communication will be awesome. And of course, you're going to probably have the romance. But until you have those other pieces dialed in, you're probably going to have a relationship where you're just kind of like, stop and go, like somebody learning how to drive a stick shift for the first time. It's not going to be easy. And there's going to be a lot of stop and go.
So you just said something that I think is part of your learnings and what you've gained over the years doing this. You use the term love mapping. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, definitely. And before I speak on anything revolving around relationships, I really want to reiterate that this stuff works for any type of couple, any type. I mean that, and I wholeheartedly mean that, because I came on the show because I know that when we talk about relationships, there's this kind of this thing about like the heterosexual norm.
Right.
And, you know, I've made the mistake on my show of really focusing on a lot of experts that are in heterosexual relationships. So I've made it a point now to be more inclusive so that people understand that the work that I teach is for any type of couple. So with that being said, love mapping comes from the work of Dr. John and Julie Gottman over at the University of Washington and their research done there. What they found is that couples that are happy and have a healthy and successful relationship, one of the key things that they were great at is having a map of each other's internal world. So the better that I know Rick and the more that I update my information on Rick, the better my map is. So what are Rick's loves, fears, hates, dreams, aspirations, hopes, values? The more I can update that information, the better I can navigate Rick and how to work with him. So for you, the listener, maybe you've had this experience where you and someone are kind of getting in an argument. And you know your friend or your partner so well that, boom, you're able to say something funny and it just relaxes all the tension. If I did that with one of you and I don't know you very well, I probably wouldn't know what to say that would be funny to you because I don't have a well-drawn-out love map of who you are. So the next question that really begs to be asked is, well, how do I love map? How do I utilize this information? And it's really easy. Start asking new questions and updating the information through these open-ended questions. So, you know, you go out to Mexican food and you have no idea why your partner loves that food. Well, you might ask, you know, hey, I never really got why you love Mexican food so much. Your partner likes a certain type of music. There's something that really bothers them. And you start asking them about these subjects. the same techniques that we use to fall in love are the same techniques that we use to stay in love. So when we first meet somebody, it's like, oh my God, I just can't. I don't want to get off the phone with you, Rick. I want to stay up until 2, 3, 4 in the morning, like, and I'm excited to wake up and text you and ask you how you're doing, and I can't wait to get out of work so we can hang out. It's the same type of skills that we use when we first fall in love to keep that relationship alive, and that is asking open-ended questions and really involving ourselves to understand our partner.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought up this open-ended question piece, because I know all of us, and I'm generalizing again, I know all of us have heard the use of that term, but as a coach, that is my goal, is to always ask open-ended questions, those questions that cannot be answered by yes or no. And I think in our hurried-paced life at times, we ask questions that already default to a certain answer. And when we know we're going to ask a question, a lot of times it's while we're in a rush and we're on the way out the door and da-da-da-da, and the next thing you hear is, can you do this for me? Can you just try to be this? Although the only response we can get is a yes or no. And oftentimes in the rush of asking a question that isn't open-ended, where you can get the real answer, is where the nugget of the pebble in the shoe starts to bug you. It's like, well, I asked that question and I got this terse no or yes. Well, oftentimes the reason you're getting the terse no or yes is you ask specifically for what you got back in return. You got a yes or a no. But yet what you really wanted was the whole enchilada of why he likes Mexican food. You could have said, so you really like Mexican food? Yes. Well, okay, so much for trying to get to know him. But if you said, so I've noticed you really like Mexican food, and I'm just wondering why that is and what's your favorite thing to eat? It's a whole different question. It's the same thing right. That starts to happen when you start to go to the places that for most people make them really uncomfortable. Do you like the way that feels when you're in bed? Is that helping you achieve orgasm? Is that something that relaxes you? Is that something that really turns you on? How is that turning you on and why does that turn you on? You notice how when I switch to how is that turning you on and why does it turn you on, it gives the person the opening to go and expand upon it. Will it be uncomfortable at times? Sure, it's going to be uncomfortable for you, the person asking the question, and it may be uncomfortable for the person responding because they're like, wow, I'm used to that yes, no thing. And suddenly they're really interested in me. They're really wanting to know more. So as you work with couples, I would assume without wanting a yes or no answer, that there's lots of techniques that you use to start opening up, you know, the dialogue, and opening the questions being one of them. What are some other things you would suggest for people to really open up dialogue?
Well, you know, dialogue a lot of times opens or closes based on how relaxed you are. And so one of the things that I teach couples is just learning how to take a few deep breaths and look at your partner's eyes. Incredibly simple tool and yet very powerful. So there's this couple that comes into my office and they constantly threaten each other to leave the relationship. And if you've studied anything about relationship bowling and the work of John Bowlby or Dr. Susan Johnson, who's a contemporary and alive right now doing some amazing work, one of the things that she has found out is that, like, when we threaten to leave the relationship, our whole nervous system actually responds as if we're breaking up, you know, and it's a huge mistake that couples make. So this couple has some very, very unhealthy attachment styles. So one of the things that we did at first is we tried dialogue. It didn't work so well. So in another session, I just had the husband stare into his wife's eyes and just breathe with her. And I asked him to just kind of gaze into her eyes softly and out of his peripheral to watch the way that her chest was moving up and down as she breathed and to match her breathing. What we know is that when we match another person's breathing and body style, what we're actually doing is matching up our whole nervous system to theirs. And so we're getting what is called true empathy, right? Because empathy is an ability to feel what the other person is feeling and to understand them. So when we match our breathing to another person's, that's what we're doing, is we're reaching the highest level of empathy. So he did this and he just softly gazed into her eyes. And then I instructed him just to place his hand on her leg. And then she put her hand on his hand and she just completely started sobbing and broke down and leaned into him and they hugged and they kissed. And they both looked at me and they said, oh my God, we haven't felt this way for years. We feel like we're in love again. So we cut the crap and cut the conversation and went right to the heart, which is their ability to connect and have intimacy. So that's one of the most powerful ways I found for couples to connect. You know, and a lot of people try to use sex or other kind of things to connect, and it usually doesn't work because sex is usually an expression of a connection that's happened before. And so breathing is one of those ways that we can do that.
And as you were describing that, it took me to a place that I had done some work with my husband a couple of years ago. And we were at a retreat, and it was really interesting to watch the dynamic. Now, I wasn't working with him because I was actually one of the facilitators at the retreat. But it was really interesting to see in me what started to happen as I observed him doing this with other guys. It was a gay men's retreat, and we were practicing dialing into ourselves and getting really present with ourselves and allowing other people to really see our vulnerabilities. And this was one of the exercises we did. It was the same thing you just described. And as one of the facilitators, being at that time, I wasn't married to him, but we'd been together for many, many, many years. It was so interesting to watch my body react as I watched him react to the guy that he was working with, because it actually brought me into presence with him. Even though I was watching lots of guys do this, every time I would get back over to looking at my husband, my body would just completely fall into pace with him. And I realized how beautiful it was to be able to see that connection and know this is where, it's where one of our places is that we can come together and we can literally find presence, be with each other, and not let the craziness of life get in the way. We just are with each other. No other shit going on. So when a couple is really deep into this, as you say, I'm going to leave, isn't that more of a cry for, I need some attention, I need you to hear me, I need you to see me? Or is that truly the case that they're really ready to call it quits?
Usually I'm ready to leave is a threat.
Right.
That really translated. Here's the thing about communication is that when we talk about communication, we say communication is key. Mm-hmm. And I like to say it's targeted communication. And on top of that, is communication that's clear and kind, right? So what is your communication saying, and is your partner hearing it the way that you meant it? So when your partner says, I'm going to leave, that's it, what they're really saying is, we need to work on this. If we don't figure it out, I don't know how safe I can feel in this relationship. Please listen to me. Let's work this out. I'm getting really stressed. Like, there's this kind of like layers, right? And ultimately what they're saying is, I'm scared that this isn't working, and I really wish that we could talk.
Yeah, beautiful. So I'm going to do some like live, here we are in a real scenario, because I have a situation that I worked through not long ago, but I'm not going to give my resolution to it. I'd love to see what your resolution to this is. So I have a couple. I've worked with the one guy from pre-coming out through coming out to the other side of the doorway, worked with him on some of his dating stuff. And he's in a fairly new relationship at this point. And there seems to be a lot of jealousy coming from the boyfriend, a lot of insecurity coming from the boyfriend, to the point that anytime my client happens to look at another guy, the boyfriend has literally flipped out a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be interested from your perspective. I know I didn't give you a whole lot to work with there, but what do you think could possibly be going on there?
Say that last piece about kind of the key issue that you said again.
Well, the key issue is really even the smallest little thing. Like if my client, they happen to go to a restaurant or something, and my client just happens to look at another guy, the boyfriend wigs out and says, I can tell you don't want to be with me. You know, you're even looking at other guys. I'm just curious, what do you think could really be going on there?
Well, so, you know, with kind of such openness, there is a potential that either this couple has had issues of infidelity, or this couple in particular, they've had that issue, or the partner who's consistently freaking out has been cheated on multiple times, or has been abandoned, and we could go to the root, maybe was abandoned by his own parents.
Right.
So we don't know exactly what's happening, but ultimately what the partner is saying, every time you look at someone, I'm scared. You know, and I don't know how to deal with that. The other partner is probably thinking, oh my God, like, you know, I think you're beautiful. You're the most amazing man I've ever been with. And sometimes somebody's interesting to look at, whether or not I'm interested in them is very different conversation. I mean, I'm in a committed relationship and I still look at other women and go, wow, she's beautiful. Right. But I don't think, oh my God, I need to date her and create this fantasy. I just go, that's a very beautiful woman.
Right.
There's no other story happening in my head, because in my mind is I'm with my partner, I love her, and there's no one else that will substitute or even threaten that relationship. So the resolution is, how do we create a sense of safety for that partner that's scared? Mm-hmm. And if you're not working with the couple, is then how do you help the gentleman who looks at other people, how do you help him communicate to his partner that you're safe?
Right.
I love you. We're committed together. I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm not going to go off and be with someone else. I love you. And creating that kind of safety is possible from one person's end, but I would say that the partner who's incredibly freaked out a lot will probably have to do some work on their own, unless infidelity is the problem. If infidelity between this couple was the core issue, then the person that cheated is going to have to really learn how to behave in a certain way to create extra safety for their partner.
Mm-hmm. I love everything you said, because it was pretty similar to where I went with my client. I said, you know, there's something else going on here. There's something that's happened to your boyfriend that is causing this. And they haven't been together long enough for there to have been any infidelity. It was 2-3 months at the most that they've been together. I mean, I know some people will get, well, that's long enough for somebody to screw around. Yes, it is. But knowing that my client said, I haven't been with anybody, because he's on long-term relationship mode. When he goes in, he goes in. And so as we continued to dialogue, what began to come up was some of this stuff of, you know, the boyfriend hasn't been with anybody in like 5 years, and he gets insecure at the littlest thing. I mean, literally the littlest thing causes this insecurity. And so I recommended to my client that, first of all, you're going to have to potentially find a way to rein in whatever the behavior is that's causing the button to be pushed. But you're also going to probably want to have a conversation around, I noticed this is happening, and I'm just wondering what's happened that has you feeling like I'm going to do this to you based on whatever somebody else has done to you in the past. And can we talk about it so that we can work on it together? And I also, of course, suggested, you know, if he could get his boyfriend to go to a therapist or a coach or something to kind of talk about this, if the boyfriend is truly vested in this relationship. I said,
yeah,
you know, you could suggest he go do this. If he's not truly vested in this, then it's not going to do any good, because he's not going to. And I said, and not to predict anything, but I would suggest that if you tried to get him to go do some work with someone and he really fought it, then there's something else even deeper going on. It's going to be something really deep. Like, I'm not the one in the wrong. You're the one, you know, and suddenly then you got the blame. And then this thing could be really, really, truly on a really bad track from the get go. So, thanks for kind of playing along there. And that is a real story. It's a real situation that I've dealt with in the last couple of months. And I really felt for my client, because I could tell he was truly in a place where he was between a rock and a hard place, because either way he tried to do something, it always seemed to end up in a really bad spot for him in the relationship. So,
right.
So as we wind up here, Louis, first of all, thanks so much for coming on. I could do another show with you and another show, because I think we could just go deeper and deeper, and we could bring some real life stuff to play, and we both kind of give our perspective. But and maybe we will. Maybe as things keep moving on, I'll bring you back as kind of a regular guy, and we'll just have kind of the Rick and Louis Let's Talk Love show sort of thing. So
love it.
I would love it too, man. But this is the Coming Out Lounge, and at the end of each show, I ask the same question. You know, for somebody who's really struggling with coming out and really stepping into themselves and starting to get their life going, and I'm going to change the question slightly for this show. If you're really trying to find that true love, what would you recommend they do?
You know, I want to address that first question about somebody who might be struggling to come out, and yeah, they're listening to the show. Because I do a lot of work with people just learning how to come into their own life path, because even a relationship is about us coming out to our partner of who we are, yeah, whether we're gay or straight. I mean, on a consistent basis, my partner challenges me to become more of me, Yep. Right. And to be more authentically that person. So the first thing I would say to anybody who's struggling with coming out and letting people know, or their family or whatever it might be, know that they're gay, or they just, they're different than this kind of heterosexual norm, is find some people in your life that have already gone through that journey and can support you and be really positive assets for you in that journey. I have no idea what it's like to come out and say that you're gay, but I can only imagine that it is incredibly difficult, and my heart goes out to you 110%. I have family members that I've been one of the first people that they've come out to, and the reason is because I have so much love and no judgment, and for some people, I am that first point of contact where they find that sense of safety. There's been a lot of power in that, so I suggest to you to find someone that you can talk to and feel safe with whether it's coming, you know, to Rick Clemens' website, to his podcast, or sending one of us a message, is just find some sort of support around that.
And here's something I want to interject on what you just said. The key is finding someone who's gone through it, who can give you the positive space to work in. There's a lot of people who've gone through this. Trust right. me, there's hundreds of thousands of millions of people who've come through that closet door. There's also a lot of people who come through that closet door and are still having a negative experience because of stuff that's happening to them, and they decide to stay in the negativity, or they have never stepped out of the negative experience and said, I'm letting that go. I'm moving forward. I trust myself. I love myself. I see myself as a very thriving person in humanity as a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. So the positive piece that Lewis, you just brought up, is key, key, key.
Yeah, I mean, if someone comes to me and opens up, one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to give them space to express that and to be safe with that. Then after they've sat with that and they just find that they can kind of rest into that by feeling safe with me, I would say, hey, check out Rick's show. He's got some awesome content around it. He talks to people about this. Maybe even reach out to him, or here's a group of friends, here's a community, you know, that will help support you through that. So ultimately, you know, the path is find someone that you feel safe talking to, and then find a community of people who understand that on a more intimate level.
Yeah. So let's go to the second part of that question. Is they're just getting ready to start dating. They've done some dating, but they just keep finding that closed door that keeps just like love sucks sort of thing going on. What's the best advice you could give someone on, let's get really clear on how to start to reach out there for love? And I know that's a loaded question because we could go for a whole show on that alone.
It's a wonderful question, and I work with a lot of single people that either have been burned or are new to kind of the dating relationship scene. And my message to both subsets are really the same, is start creating your archetypal ideal relationship, right? So if you want to build a house, you don't just buy all the stuff and put it together. You build a blueprint. When we create that blueprint, we're really giving our mind and our body an opportunity to assimilate before it happens. It's a lot easier to build a home in theory before you actually go and build it. So one of the ways that I help people tap into that is I say, have you seen any movies, any love stories that are just awesome and make you feel good? All of us have. So then I say, okay, go watch those movies, but even more specifically, watch those scenes that give you a feeling of an ideal type of relationship, right? And it's not so much the content, because if you're gay or you're in a polyamorous relationship or whatnot, you might not find a lot of like role models that give you that feeling of like, oh my God, this is a male-male relationship. There's not a lot of Hollywood is pushing that on us.
Right.
But you can still find a relationship that makes you laugh or makes you feel good. You just watch that and then you feel that in your body and, oh wow, what would it be like if it was me having that experience with someone? So that gets it really in for you. And then the next thing is start having dialogues and conversations with this ideal partner. Either write them letters in your notebook or just have it in your head. Imagine what it'd be like to lay with them before you fall asleep. A lot of people might think this is hocus pocus, but here's the deal. There's a lot of research showing that Olympic athletes visualize their ideal match hundreds and hundreds of times before they even get out there and participate in the Olympics. We know that it works, so why wouldn't it work for your ideal relationship? Once you meet that ideal partner, your body and your mind will go, oh my gosh, this is that same feeling I've been visualizing. And if it doesn't feel that way, your body and your mind will go, next. And it'll be a lot easier for you to move to the next thing.
Yeah. Awesome. So with that, all your awesomeness that you've shared with us, give us a quick, what's your website address? So if anybody wants to connect up with you, Lewis.
Beautiful, beautiful. Honored. LastingLoveConnection.com is the website, and you can awesome. Find the podcast there, and you can find me. Feel free to write me a message. I'd be happy to respond. And thank you so much for having me on the show and listening to this episode, everyone.
I am so stoked about it. And the reason I bring other people on to the show, yes, I could work with people in this arena, but the bottom line is this. Some of us are going to connect and some of us aren't. So my goal in doing this show is to bring a lot of good wealth and information so that people can connect with the people that make them feel comfortable and safe. And if Lewis is making you feel comfortable and safe by what you're hearing here today, then make sure you go check him out. And if you've really loved what you've heard today, don't forget to give us some love over on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Give us a little rating and review, but I'm not asking you to do that because I want to force you to. I want you to do this because you love what you hear here on The Coming Out Lounge. And of course, as always, you can step into Facebook and give me some love over at The Coming Out Coach. And finally, if you're going to do that Twitter sort of stuff, tweet at us at Rick Clemens with the hashtag Coming Out Lounge. Again, that's at Rick Clemens, and the hashtag is pound Coming Out Lounge. And with that, we're going to wind it up once again from The Coming Out Lounge by saying, go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth, and don't ever stop loving yourself.
Thank you for joining us today with The Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for The Coming Out Lounge.